Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, a personal note, Mike, thank you for the privilege of being able to share the Word of God with you. It's been pre-COVID but since we have been here, and so we're really glad to be back here and to be able to proclaim the message to you today. We want to focus our message on the gospel that was just read to you, reading again a portion of it from the second chapter of St. John. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, welcome. Welcome to our celebration. Yes, I know, I can read the calendar. I know that Christmas is done. The celebrations, all the stuff's been put away. Well, most of it. But it's still a celebration. In fact, every time we gather here in the house of God around his word and around his gracious life-giving sacrament, it's a celebration. A celebration of God's love, a celebration of his presence in our life. And this month, today especially, we celebrate life. The life that is a gift from God. And so it's fitting today, I think, for a story about a celebration. It's fitting not just because Jesus is helping people to celebrate. It's fitting because in this story, we discover some very, very important things for our life about celebrating and about Jesus being there when we need him. The story is the account of Jesus' first miracle given to us by the Gospel John. It occurred early in his ministry. It occurred in the town of Galilee, which was just 3 miles or so from the town that he grew up in, Nazareth. It's a wedding party. We don't know who the people are, but they obviously are friends, maybe relatives of Jesus. His mother, Mary, seems to have been involved in the planning and the carrying out of this celebration. Now, you got to understand that wedding celebrations were a little bit more extended than ours. We have our wedding and we go to a reception for 2 or 3 hours, maybe a little longer, and that's about it. Their receptions lasted days. This was the third day of the wedding feast. So it's a long time. And the wine ran out. Now, hospitality in the Near East was a virtue, and it's a very embarrassing situation when they ran out of wine. And so Mary, who seems to be involved in the planning, goes to her son and says, "They don't have any wine." Jesus says, "Why do you want to involve me?" Well, she did. And she simply told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus was willing to help out, but in his own time and in his own way. Now, John tells us that there were 6 stone jars nearby, and Jesus had them fill with water. But you have to understand, these are not little jars. These are 20 to 30 gallons of water each. And so when Jesus tells the servants to take this water, now turn to wine, and offer it to the host of the feast, he'd made, 160 gallons of wine? Quite a festival, don't you think? Now, why? Why would Jesus do this? What's the purpose of this miracle? Was it just to make sure that the party went on? John tells us that by means of this miracle, the disciple Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Well, Jesus never used miracles to convince people that he really was the Messiah, but he would use the miracles to support people when they had that faith in him and he wanted to encourage them. But what about us? What does the story mean today? I mean, it's an interesting story, but what does it mean to you now? The question that John seeks to answer throughout his gospel is, who is this Jesus? In the baptism of Jesus, we are told that God came and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus today says, well, he's the one who can satisfy our needs, who can turn crises into celebrations. And I would suppose there would be some who would think, well, that's great. Jesus is there to help us party. When we have the wine runs out, Jesus is there and the party can go on. C.S. Lewis contended that God makes wine every year with water, soil, sunlight, and bacteria. Jesus speeded up the process is all. But if that's all we see, if all we see is Jesus just there to help us party, to make our life go better, to turn every day into a banquet, if that's all we see, then we have totally missed the message. We need to go deeper. We need to go past the wine, past the party, deeper into the realities of life and death and struggles and eternity. That's where we discover the true meaning of this parable. We live our lives in a world that's racked by sin, by struggle, by crisis. We deal with pain, we deal with problems, we deal with a pandemic, we deal with the cold, cruel harshness of life. And how often doesn't the wine run out? How often hasn't your life been interrupted by a crisis? How often hasn't it happened when your life is going on just nice and smooth and then suddenly the wine runs out? The party is abruptly over. Your job is suddenly gone. The doctor tells you or your spouse that you have cancer. There's a horrible accident and a family member or a loved one or a friend is killed. COVID invades our life and brings sickness, maybe even death to the ones we love. The list could go on and on, but you get the idea. The party sometimes comes to an abrupt end. We live in the real expectation that our life is just going to go on from one just great day to the next. I love the story of Peanuts, where Lucy is depressed because life was difficult for her that day. And Charlie Brown said, well, life does have its ups and downs. And she says, why? Why can't I just go from an up to an upper up? Why do we have to have any downs at all? But we do. And what do? When everything comes crashing down? Well, we do what Mary did. You go to Jesus. And we celebrate. Celebrate what Jesus gives us. This is Life Sunday, Life Month. This is the day when we pause to celebrate because we live in a world that has devalued life considerably. It was January 22nd, 1973, that the infamous Roe versus Wade decision was handed down. And the ruling declared that life really didn't have the value that God intended. That now other people could determine whether your life had value or not. And since then, millions of children have been snuffed out because they were deemed an inconvenience, a burden, an accident, a choice. And there may be those who are here today who made that choice, who suffer from the guilt and remorse that comes along with it. There's never just one victim in an abortion. All too often, would-be mothers or fathers carry that burden of guilt of what happened years and years before. And what do you do with that guilt? What do you do when the wine runs out, when all the attempts to convince yourself that you're not guilty, only to discover again and again and again that you are guilty and you have that burden to carry? What do you do with that? Well, you go to Jesus and you celebrate that Jesus has taken your guilt away. Just take your guilt, your troubles, your struggles, and hand them to Jesus, and that's it. That sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? That's pretty simple. Take it to Jesus, and he will help. That's kind of simplistic. But that's exactly what we are to do. To take it to Jesus, But that's a tough thing to do sometimes, to admit that we can't handle it, to admit that we do need the help, even the help of our Lord. But we can take it to Jesus. And when we do, we can watch. Watch what God does to turn our crises into celebrations, our grief into joy. Not that God always does it our way. Sometimes He does it better than what we ask. I had a man in a former congregation who was told that he had 6 months to live with cancer. So what did he do? He went to Jesus, and Jesus turned the crisis into a celebration. No, he wasn't cured of his cancer. No, he didn't live longer than 6 months. But what he did is he turned that into a celebration, and he told me, "You have no idea how great it is to be able to witness to people when they come and see me, and I have this cancer, and tell them that I'm going to go be with my Lord." Or a pastor who is struck with blindness. Does he give up? Does he stop serving? No. He turns it to Jesus, and Jesus turns it into a celebration. As he said, what he was able to do was to discover people who would take him around to his various meetings and calls and things. And he learned to know things about people and developed relationships that he would not ever otherwise have had. And the people discovered ways to serve that otherwise would not have been there. Or a woman who, as a teenager, felt her only option was to have an abortion. But now, having been assured of the forgiveness of Jesus, has given her life over to helping other women to discover that they do indeed have other options than death. What crisis are you facing? There are some here, I am sure, that are facing some sort of crisis. Something that maybe no one else even knows about because you haven't unloaded to anyone. Is your wine running out? Are you facing a difficult time? Then go to Jesus. Go to Jesus and watch as He turns your crisis into a celebration. I mean, does it have to be this way? Do we have to have such crises in our lives? Can't we just believe in Jesus, our Savior, and then every day just as a celebration? Do we have to run out of wine? Of course not. But the reality is we live in a sin-filled world. And we are sin-filled people. And there are times when our sin overtakes us. And we are alone. And we are guilt-ridden. And we are afraid. We are people who by nature turn to ourselves, not to someone else. People who by nature believe that they can handle it on their own. But we can't. But here's the good news. The faith that you need, the faith that you need to put your trust in Jesus, is not something you produce within you. That's something God does in you. That's what God does through His Word. That's what God does through this life-giving sacrament. He's the one who gives us faith. He's the one who enables us to keep that faith. He's the one who enables us to live that faith. It's a gift from God Himself. Oh yeah, the wine will run out. There will be times of crisis and difficulty. Maybe the greatest crisis any of us will face is our own death. Even death of itself, however, is a time to celebrate because of what Jesus accomplished. Can you imagine how the disciples were crushed when their wine ran out on that Friday evening after Jesus died? When they believed that everything had come crashing down, that everything was over, only to discover on the third day that Jesus was alive, that He turned that crisis into such a celebration. And we're part of that celebration. Every worship service is a celebration again of the resurrection. Every baptism is a celebration of the resurrection. Every funeral is a celebration of the resurrection. Oh yes, we can celebrate even in the midst of our crises. Because Jesus does more than just give us wine. He does more than just solve earthly problems. We celebrate because He has set us free from sin, from death, from the power of the devil. And He could bless each day that we live. By the time the wedding was over, I'm sure the host was very glad that he had invited Jesus to come. And when our wine runs out, we are very glad that Jesus is there, that he can turn our days of struggle into days of celebration. If you're not sure that that can happen, give it to Jesus. See what he does. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until life everlasting. Amen.